Today's first Bible reading will be from Psalms, Psalm 15, to be exact, and you can follow along on page 495 of your pew Bible. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. This is the word of the Lord.
And we turn also to a New Testament lesson from the book of James. James chapter 1, beginning at the 17th verse. Listen now for a word from God. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this Friday was National Bow Tie Day. I hope you celebrated appropriately. No one overdid it, I trust. I was thinking about it, that the first time I ever wore a bow tie, I was 17. It was for junior prom. I wanted to look really good. So my dad and I, we got in the car and drove down to downtown Dayton, Ohio, to the Oregon District, which is where the weird people shop. We went to a vintage clothing store, and I found this really slick tweed suit. And when I tried it on, I looked just like a vacuum cleaner repairman. And that was really what I was going for. So it was awesome. And my dad selected a bow tie, a real bow tie, tan, with a red stripe. Got it home, I tried to put it on, but it was a horror show. I could not tie that thing to save my life. But somehow my dad knew how to tie a bow tie. So he tied this bow tie for me, and I went to the junior prom very guarded to make sure that people could appreciate the bow tie from a distance, but please don't touch. Because I knew that if the thing came undone, I was going to come undone because I didn't know how to tie it. Well, this past winter, I realized that it was 22 years since I wore a bow tie the last time, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to give it a try again. I think I'm over the bad feelings of the first time I ever tried to tie a bow tie. So Elizabeth and I were actually in Iowa coming back from a trip, and so we stopped off in a department store, and I thought, I need a red and blue striped bow tie. I wonder if they have one. They do. They have 50. There are 50 red and blue striped bow ties. So I was overwhelmed, but I just kind of picked six and laid them across my arm, and I went over to Elizabeth, and I said, do we have a winner? And she said, yes. So she grabbed one, and that's actually the bow tie I'm wearing right now. Thank you, thank you. So I went to church, and I wore the bow tie, and I got a lot of good responses. People were telling me about how their father always wore a bow tie. So I got so many good responses, I thought, that's it. It's bow ties for me from now on. The only problem was that I just had the one bow tie. But then when I went into the office the next day on Monday morning, there was another bow tie. It was hanging over the doorknob. I had two. It was terrific. And then I decided the best thing to do, if you ever need help, is you go to Facebook immediately. So I got on Facebook, and I found a couple friends that I have on Facebook, and they're good friends. They're the kind of friends that you can flat out beg for stuff. I said, please, guys, I know you have a lot of bow ties and you don't wear half of them. Come on, help me out. Seed my collection. And so one, a doctor in Texas, he sent me 8 or 9 that week. And so that was good. Some of those are really awesome. I love them. And then another guy, and there's a picture actually here on the monitor, he sent me the rest. Retired Presbyterian minister. In Iowa. He doesn't teach at the university up there anymore. He doesn't have to preach. He sent me this lovely typewritten letter basically saying, you can have them. I don't need them. I got 2. There's one I like. There's one they're going to plant me in. That's it. Best of luck. So I had, an amazing gift. What a gift. On the first Sunday, I had 1 bow tie. The next Sunday, I had a bow tie for every Sunday of the year, which includes a very attractive bow tie with dogs wearing Christmas hats. So, watch out for that one. But what a gift. What an amazing gift. There was a young man at Vanderbilt University in the performance hall listening to Billy Joel lecture and play. Just a few weeks ago, he was playing cards with his cronies back home, and now he's at Vanderbilt University listening to Billy Joel. And so during the question and answer period, he raises his hand and stands up and says that his favorite song is New York State of Mind. And he's played that before. And he said, and I want to play it with you right now. Billy Joel sort of takes a beat and says, sure. And people applaud. And the kid goes up onto the stage and he sits down to the piano and he starts to play. And this kid can flat out play. And within just minutes, he is accompanying Billy Joel as he sings New York State of Mind. I don't know what he was doing weeks before, but here he is at Vanderbilt doing that. He has a friend videotape the whole thing on the iPhone. They put it on YouTube. What a gift. There's another young man who stands up. He's 27, 28 years old. He stands up in a crowded restaurant, and he says, excuse me, folks, if I could have your attention, please. I don't normally do this kind of thing, but see, I have been dating Brittany for a very, very long time. She probably thought this day would never come. In fact, I'm certain her mom thought this day would never come. Well, now everyone in the restaurant knows, they know what's going to happen. They start to get excited. I didn't know what I should do, he says. When I decided to do this, I wasn't certain how to ask, and I thought maybe what I should do is hire Britney's favorite band to come through the door right now and play her favorite song. Everyone looks to the door. He said, I didn't do that, but I was thinking about it, but I decided not to. Then I thought maybe I should hire like a skywriter if people still do that. But then I didn't know how to say it. Britney, her face is red. She's shaking a little bit and she's crying. He says, and then I sort of wondered if maybe the time was gone. Like my friends kept saying, fish or cut bait. And I don't know anything about fishing, but I didn't know what that had to do with anything. And I worried that the moment was past. But then Brittany, and he looks right at her. Then I realized, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I say, and it really doesn't matter what I do. And the young man, who normally doesn't do this sort of thing, gets down on one knee, and he says, what I do realize, Brittany, is that I love you. I love you more than anything. I don't want to spend another day without you. Brittany, will you marry me? And Brittany ekes out this yes. And everyone in the restaurant goes crazy. They're clapping and they're applauding. And people that don't know each other are patting each other on the back. This love between Brittany and the young man who doesn't normally do this kind of thing, it's spread out. Spread out to everyone in the restaurant. It's like everybody goes home that night and they've just been asked to marry. They've just been engaged. They have that love. What a gift. There's a woman sitting in a wheelchair in a hot gymnasium. Her daughter walks across the stage and accepts her high school diploma. They managed to say her name right. She has a tricky middle name, and that worked out well. They announce where she's going to be going to college in the fall. And the woman knows that she will not live to see her daughter graduate from high school or from college. But it was enough to see her in that moment. It was enough to see her graduate from high school. There's a word for that. It's a gift. Every good and perfect gift and every good and generous act of giving comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. James wants us to know today that we have all experienced gifts. We've all experienced these gifts, these moments, these experiences, these electric little parts of life where we have a blessing, a deep blessing. That's what James is talking about. This first chapter is really fascinating. Luke Timothy Johnson calls the first chapter of James an epitome, which I know the word epitome, but I've never heard it used. I sort of think of the first chapter of James more like a table of contents. It's the table of contents, and everything that happens later in the book of James, it's sort of lined out just in that first chapter. Or really another way to think about it would be, think about an overture, right? You go to the theater, you sit down, the lights go dark, the music starts to play, and it's the overture. All the big hits are sort of hinted at in the first 7 minutes as we wait for the curtain to go up. That's what James 1 is for us. But there's one little thing that's hinted at that seems like we need to hear it just one more time. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's such a beautiful line. If there was like a reality TV show called like the Biblical Scripture Ninja Warrior or something, where different Bible verses competed for time, you know, I would be in the crowd in Las Vegas wearing that on my t-shirt and rooting for it. It's such a beautiful line. But oftentimes we hear beautiful lines of Scripture and we read them and we kind of say, ah, that's beautiful. But we don't really spend any time thinking about what does it mean? What does that mean to us? Well, I think it might mean this, that everything that we love, spaghetti with meatballs, driving a car a little bit faster than we should, the smell of rain, Mahler's Eighth Symphony, everything that we love is a blessing. It's a blessing from God. And all the most important things aren't things, right? They're people, places, and moments. Even pets. Now, you know about pets. This is a pet-loving congregation. I've been looking through the directory. I don't know if you realize this, because you guys, it's kind of old hat to you, but on every page of the directory, there is maybe a picture of one or two or three people. They look lovely. They're dressed well. They seem to be taxpayers. They look like they're the kind of people that have good habits. They're smiling at the camera, and they are holding up a little dog face next to their face. It would be absolutely hysterical if it wasn't so cute and endearing. But our pets and our people and our moments and our experiences, all of these things are gifts to us from God, and we love them. And James calls God the Father of lights. It's really interesting. It doesn't happen anywhere else in Scripture. Is God called the Father of lights? And that's an interesting saying. You know, God is the creator. The creator of the stars at night, says one old hymn. God created the sun and the moon. God is the creator, the one that's fixed. We can count on God. James says, in God there's no variation or shadow due to change. God's not going to change. For us, boy, life is just a bunch of change. The only thing we can count on is change. But it's not that way with God. We can count on God. God does not need to be reelected. Right? God is not going to get sick. We're not going to worry about who's going to take over after God, you know, kicks it. That's not the way God is. There is no vice God, right? So if you've been thinking that Jesus was like vice God, sort of the guy that goes around on the campaign trail and says some funny stuff and warms up for God, that's not what Jesus is like, and there's another sermon in that, but we'll put that aside. So God has always been. God will always be. God is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so we experience those together every day. And James gives us one more gift. It's a great moment. Let me just read it to you. He says, you must understand this, my beloved. And then there's a little B, which means the Greek says beloved brothers. So for us, we would say, you must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's a great Jamesian moment. That's James at his most Jamesian. If you were into needlepoint that on a pillow for me. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why should we do that? Because everyone is a gift. We experience everyone as a gift. Everyone is special to us. It's been an amazing, 10 days that I've been here, part of this congregation. It's been great. I get the distinct impression that you like me. And I want to keep that going for as long as possible. I'm glad we've got you snowed so far. I get the impression that you experience the McCormack family as a gift. I don't think I'm overselling that. But I want you to know something else. We experience you as a gift. We are overwhelmed with you. We are overwhelmed with your faces and your names and your stories and your spirit and your joy and your excitement and your eagerness to serve the Lord. We're overwhelmed. It's so amazing. Last week, someone came up to me and they just said, hi. And then they just stood there. Like I was like a 90-watt light bulb or something. I was putting out this heat or something. I said, hi. It was so great. I mean, the gospel to me today is that everywhere we go and everywhere we are with other people, they're gifts. They are gifts for us to appreciate. We can be slow to speak because we want to hear their stories. We want to get to know them. We want to be slow to anger because we're filled with compassion for them, the compassion of Christ. There's a great quotation I want to close with today. It comes from C.S. Lewis. It's from an address he gave called The Weight of Glory. And it says this, it's on the screen, but I'll read it to you. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors? Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, now remember, C.S. Lewis is Anglican, so he has a slightly elevated understanding of the sacraments, all right? Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. If he is your Christian neighbor, he is holy in almost the same way, for in him also Christ is truly hidden. My friends, this week we'll interact with lots of different people. May we experience them all as gifts. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for drawing us together on this first day of the week. I thank you for each person in this room, each person in the room first hour, and all that we mean to you, and all that these people mean to me. Help us to experience each other as gifts given to us from you, that we might practice that, so that as we work and live and have our being in the world, we would experience others as your gifts to us too. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.